Jesus.
America tonight, a sad day in America's history. For the first time since September 11, 2001, we have people killed and injured in this country thanks to a terroristic bombing. Is it domestic? Is it foreign? Those are questions we're still trying to answer. What I can tell you is three people are dead, including an eight-year-old boy, and also his sister and mother critically injured. What were they doing? Waiting to cheer on a father as he crossed the finish line. What's it like to be in his shoes tonight? What an awful, awful thing to happen on a wonderful day where so many people were completing, really, the race of their life, never, ever thinking that this sort of thing was going to happen. So two explosions hit the finish line at 3 o'clock. They went off simultaneously. It was when people were clumped together watching the runners who were finishing the 26.2-mile race. They would have to have some knowledge of the race because the bulk of runners would be crossing across at that time, people who had trained a little bit. They were recreational runners. Any of the elite runners had already won the race and come in hours before. So it was a deliberate act, without a doubt. There is some footage that the feds have gone over, Homeland Security and the FBI and others that are on the site still looking for any clues they can at the device, things that were blown apart. And plenty of clues were there to show that it was definitely an act of terrorism. But it looked as though backpacks were put in trash cans right there, the finish line, and then exploded. What triggered it? It could be any number of things that set them off. But the surprise and then what happened afterwards, where you have just a couple of responders on site, because at a race, you're looking for people dehydrated, that kind of stuff that can happen. Somebody may be having a heart problem, somebody having heat exhaustion or some other thing happening to them when they're running. The immediate impact was you saw limbs in the street. You looked at this. People said that were veterans as though they were back in Afghanistan, and the IED had exploded. Because of the limbs that were taken off the height of the bomb, it very much looks like stuff similar to perhaps what happened in Oklahoma City with fertilizer and diesel and whatnot that could have been how the two devices and others were made. So at this point, it's a question of who. There are rumors now that we can't completely confirm, but initially in the day they were talking about a Saudi national. Now they're saying again that there is that possibility. I think I think with all the things that have happened and going through footage and looking for forensic clues and all that kind of stuff, there is an air of caution about saying who is in custody or who could possibly be in custody, that kind of thing. By the way, there was a third explosion that happened near the JFK Presidential Library and Museum, and that was in Dorchester. That's several miles pretty much southeast of the finish line. And that happened at 4:15, so a little bit later. They're really not tying the two together. The interesting thing in Boston, besides it being the Boston Marathon, of course, Tax Day, and it's Patriots Day, which is a day off in Boston. People take off. People in Massachusetts take off. 238th day they've commemorated that. It's the anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord and the beginning of the Revolutionary War. So with the chaos and everything that happened, it's just, just unbelievable. The descriptions that I've read, you don't want to read. I was actually looking at the Boston Herald And one of the things that the Boston Herald, what they described was one of the spectators said, somebody's leg flew by my head. I mean, what an unbelievable thing to witness, to see, to be in the middle of, and to realize that it's eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I happen to be standing here, and I have ringing in my ears, but I'm okay. Not so lucky the person just two down from me. So this is absolutely an act of terror. It's a question of the analysis of that video from some of the surveillance cameras, what ultimately they come up with. There are 17 people in critical condition who are still fighting for their lives. They have burns. They have injuries where the doctor has had to amputate. In fact, there was a count on, and it's probably higher than this now at this point, but there was a count on what had to happen as far as amputations. And, you know, they at one point were up to 15 because, you know, saved a life and we have nothing that we can do with the limb, which is just a sad, sad thing. Lots of children were involved in this, at least 8 seriously or critical. And the thing is, they were there watching, waiting for a father, a mother, whoever, to finish the race because it was the culmination of the day, as I said, where it's a historical day and a day off, and it's right there on Boylston Street, which is so famous in Boston. So 3 hours after the winners crossed the finish line, there was that loud explosion, and the just seconds later, another explosion and people trying to figure out what happened. Just a big bomb, glass everywhere, people ducking and trying to figure out what it was all about. But there has to be a concern about finding, investigating, interrogating, and trying to prevent similar attacks. We live in a free society, and we know that this is always a possibility, and when you have 25,000 people, 500,000 running, and 500,000 people watching on a day like was the day unfolding in Boston, there is, I guess, always that possibility, but you're just not thinking that, especially when you sit for a second and remember runners, friendly, helping each other, not at all the event if you start to figure out and put together a list of what are the potential sporting events where you could do a lot of damage, and people would look at that and wouldn't be able to believe you could penetrate that security. But they penetrated the security here. That is absolutely for sure. A lot coming up, including a conversation with Robert Siciliano. Been on the show many times, security expert from Boston. He runs in the marathon every single year. He was running in this Boston marathon, and you'll hear what that was like for him as he got closer to the finish line and ended up looking for his family. It was an unbelievable scene. That's next here on ATN. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, April 15th, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $1,407.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,444.22, $7.22.11 for a half ounce, or $361.05 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,444.22, $7.22.11, and $361.05.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
We've been talking about what's happened in Boston. I have several friends running the race, and it's just mind-boggling sad. It reminds me so much of, sadly, what happened when I was in New York City, 9/11. And now we've got another person killed. There's two people so far, including an 8-year-old. Unbelievable. There are no words. 141 people injured in Boston in what looks to be a terror attack. What variety, we don't know now at this point. Our pal Robert Siciliano, no better. He is just a great guy, personal security and identity theft expert. We've had him on the show so many times. And he does a great charity thing, Miles for Miracles, for the Boston Marathon every time he runs it. And people love to donate to that and really love Robert. Robert, we're very happy that you're okay, but what a terrible thing to witness. Where were you? Explain what happened and what you heard while you were running.
I was actually rounding the corner to Boylston Street. I had done about a 4-hour marathon. I was on my way to the finish line. It was in my sights. I saw the finish line. The explosions went off. Boston police pushed everybody off the road. They stopped. They basically put a barrier right up where I was. It all happened so fast. Boston police acted very quickly, and they got everybody off the road. And I essentially hopped the barrier, and I kept running down Boylston Street because between those two bombs and me was my family. And so I needed to get to my family. And one cop grabbed me. He pushed me off to the side, yelled at me, and then I kind of got away from him, and then I ran, and he started screaming at me, at another cop. He grabbed me, almost tackled me, and he secured me, and he was about to arrest me, but obviously he had bigger fish to fry. He let me go. I jumped over a barrier. I went into the back alleys. I was running along the back alleys where all the people people that were in all the restaurants and the bars that populate Boylston Street. Again, that's the road where the marathon finished. They were all spilling out into the alley. And I was running amongst people that were yelling and screaming and crying. There was blood in the, there was trails of blood on the ground where people who had evacuated out of the back were bleeding. And I made it back to the finish line, like backtracking to the finish line, crossed over Boylston Street, made it to my family. I had talked to my dad a little bit earlier and told him to get them out of there because my concern was, I called him. As soon as the bombs went off, I called him because my first concern was that another bomb would go off. I just wanted to him to get them the hell out of there. I didn't want him to wait around for me. I just wanted him to get them out of there, my wife, my two kids, my sister-in-law. And so on the way, while I was going down Boylston Street, I was the first one down Boylston, like one of the first only civilians down Boylston Street, because I was basically evading the police.
Right.
And the only people on the road at that point were bodies. Based, I don't know if they were alive or dead. I think they were alive. They were either flat down or sitting up. They were bleeding, and they were being tended to by the only two ambulances that were there to help the runners, not bomb blast victims. And there were Boston police and the Boston Athletic Association's volunteers helping the people that were down. I ran by them and eventually got to my family and, you know,
wow.
Pissed off.
Wow. Your family, I mean, thank goodness, you clear head, thinking, calling your dad, all of that. But, I mean, your wife must have, because they could have been right there, right where all that happened. And luckily, with that call and with moving around and whatnot, what did they say that was like for them? That'd be terrible.
Well, my seven-year-old said that was a lot of fun until the bombs went off.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Well, how do you explain that to a seven-year-old?
Yeah, how do you explain that? I mean, in your head, that's never a thought in your head, Robert. Never a thought in your head when you're running this storied marathon, is it, obviously?
You know, I mean, unfortunately, in my mind, I think of all that stuff all the time. You know, I know too much.
Yeah.
But that wasn't my thoughts as I was running down Boylston Street because, you know, I had just run a four-hour marathon. It was a personal best. It was a good time for me. And I was, the finish line was in my sights and bang, bang, you know, like that was not what I was expecting.
Yeah, as a security, you know, as you said, you have those kinds of thoughts because you're the security man. And were at all, after all that was done, in other words, you're reunited with your family, all that kind of stuff, were you thinking in your head, geez, what happened here? Were you trying to assess how
no.
maybe somebody got in, or you just said, nah, you're just worried about
no.
your family?
No,
yeah.
My wife had carried my four-year-old for probably a good, I don't know, maybe quarter mile, and then my sister-in-law had carried her for so many, for such a distance, and I could see that they were exhausted from carrying her. I mean, she's four, you know, like a four-year-old's what, like 40 pounds, 50
yeah.
pounds?
Yeah.
And so I grabbed her, and because we had to get out of there. I could smell smoke. Like, I had been running the marathon all day, so I was smelling, like, people were smoking ribs, they were cooking burgers and dogs along the course, and so I was smelling, like, great smells of smoke all day, but the smell of a bomb going off does not smell good. And I smelled that, and my dad was thinking about sticking around to get in his car out of the parking garage, and I was like, you are coming with us, we are going home, we are getting out of the city, this place is going to be gridlock in less than 10 minutes, and fortunately, the way I parked my car, it was on the edge of the city, and we got out of there pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. Robert, I know it's been a very trying, obviously, day, as I said at the top, and our thoughts are with you and your family, and thank goodness you're safe, and they're safe as well, and thank you for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you, Dale.
All right, so Robert has been on the show many, many times, not expecting to go and run the marathon, as he said. He was excited about his time. He had done this race so often in his life and had really had things working for this charity where a lot of people were chipping in money to for his race and whatever his finish time was and whatnot. So the 117th Boston Marathon, the running of it, will be forever known now as probably what will be go down either a domestic or a foreign terrorist act. At 9 o'clock in the morning, you've got the race people getting excited. You have all the people lining up. You have the moment of silence, ironically, for the victims of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting. And then eventually, 9:32, the women are off. 10 o'clock, the men are off. And they begin the race. And then this is the elite runners. And then just after 10 o'clock and right before 11, you have the remainder of the field, which is about 24,000 people, because you have to qualify for the Boston Marathon. So all the elite runners had been in well ahead of everybody else. But when you had thousands coming down Boylston Street, as he was describing, toward the finish line, and this was about 2:50 in the afternoon, East Coast time, those explosions erupt, and about a block apart, as I mentioned before, within 8 seconds of each other. So then you have this pandemonium and this crush, this chaos of figuring out what's happening and people bleeding on the streets. So you have race volunteers, the few handful of emergency workers trying to do whatever they can and setting up any kind of a makeshift trauma clinic, and that's exactly what they did to try to help the people as soon as they could help them. But the images coming out of there were just unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. Legs severed off, described to me by one friend is that there were limbs in the street. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people were seeing as they were coming around a corner and could see the smoke and whatnot. And, there was a third blast near the JFK Library in Dorchester, Massachusetts, about 5 miles to the south of Copley Square, but there was no injuries there. And so, naturally, you had increased security all over the place. And now it's a question of who did this, what can they find out, and what we'll know in the next couple of days. But let's hope that those people that are in the hospital fighting for their lives, let's hope that they can save the lives of those that are critical and also those that are in serious condition. Because you have people at all different stages of where they were and what happened when the bombs that were inside trash cans went off. And you wonder, trash cans, usually at these marathons, they don't have those trash cans. For the most part, they're pushed further back. So there were trash cans there, and this is where the bomb supposedly came from, inside the trash cans. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, 855-266-8, 855-266-5283.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses 3 groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
Strike Hard StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. Do you know the number one most valuable item in a crisis? Some people think the answer is gold. Others think it's a gun. But the correct answer will shock you. I just created a free video at crisis123.com that reveals a surprising item that is more valuable than gold in a crisis. 97% of Americans don't have this one critical item. In fact, they haven't even given it a thought. And the sad truth is that you may not survive without it when a real crisis hits and a starving mob is right outside your door. What I have to tell you could literally make the difference between life and death for you and your family. Watch my video at crisis123.com to discover the number one most valuable item in a crisis. You'll be shocked. See the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go watch my video now at crisis123.com before they force me to shut it down. Again, that's crisis123.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135, and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood-use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Wow, we're seeing the images over and over again of what happened at the Boston Marathon. So sad, and the casualties keep changing. The amount of people injured now is up to 141, and now as of this, we've got three people dead, and just, again, so many people cannot believe what happened at the Boston Marathon. You know, we just are not expecting something like that. And you have to wonder what the psychological damage is on, one, the people who were there, but all of us seeing these images again and again and again. Dr. Wendy James is a psychologist and owner of Life. She's been on the show a couple of times. Dr. Wendy, thanks as always for coming back on with us.
Thank you. LifeConsultantInc.com. And it's a tragic event. My thoughts and prayers are to the family. First, I want to say, this is the first successful bomb episode since 9/11. So psychologically, we weren't prepared for it. And guess what? Terrorism is, by its nature, an asymmetrical psychological warfare. So the aspects of psychological and fear at what happened as we watched the Boston Marathon are indeed hitting everybody wherever they're at.
Yeah. So what do we do to, you know, it's that fear of the unknown, and you certainly know that as somebody who treats people, and you hear this over and over again, or whether it's real fear, perceived fear, or whatever it might be. So what do you tell people? What can you tell parents? Because kids are kids are seeing this and learning about this and knowing what's happening. What do you tell children?
Well, this is what I try to talk about. The goals are attempt to translate irrational fears into false rational fears, and that's what terrorists do, or whomever, whether it's domestic or foreign terrorists, that's their goal in a single event. This is not unlike the fear and panic that was generated by the Sandy Hook Elementary School slaughter of innocents. Both are rare occurrences, which due to national media and internet bring coverage, and these events become into the house of Americans. And as you ask, it's a rare occurrence, but because of the media, we hear about it. And so there's fear, and there's rational fear and irrational fear. Rational fear is Boston, which is shut down, and I did a segment for New York City that on TV that they were shut down. It's a prudent reaction. Yet in a small metropolitan area, you know, 500 miles away, we need to make sure we don't project that this is going to happen because it's a rare occurrence.
Right. Well said. So for all the people listening in the nooks and crannies in America, it is. We know it. It's a rare occurrence, and you have to remind yourself of that again and again. Is there also what can happen when we see this? The panic that sometimes it generates panic. It's like a tsunami in some of those smaller areas we talk about. What's the danger of that, Dr. Wendy?
Well, it is a panic. And as a community and our parents, we do not want to translate our fear and the media fear to our children and realize that, yes, this is a panic, but we need to make sure that the TV and internet make it are impactful to our life, but fear of the unknown is a perceived fear and is different from a real fear. The fear most likely isn't going to occur in a small town on this case. Yet law enforcement professionals have to err on the side of caution for the safety of all. Terrorists always want it, whether they're home, domestic or foreign, want to generate fear in Americans. So it is up to us to determine whether they succeed or not. And we don't want to generate fear in a small town with our children, with our community, because most likely, I say most likely because I don't know, it's not going to happen.
All right, well said. Don't let the terrorists win. Don't let them generate that fear in all of us and let it hang on and grip us for sure. Dr. Wendy, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You have a good evening, and my thoughts and prayers are out to everybody.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. All right, as a result of what's happened there, and Dr. Wendy makes some great points about not letting this control your life. However, as one runner said, and everybody was interviewing people that were milling around or people who had come to the, you know, marathon for the first time, trying to get a sense of what it was like as all of this was unfolding, I think that the one runner put it right. It's just a loss of innocence. And that's what it is. More and more, I remember that feeling in New York, because we live in a free place. We live, as I say, in the greatest nation on the face of the earth for a reason, because we have choices. And now we're seeing, unfortunately, that our way of life is being penetrated by people who have no conscience and do not care that an 8-year-old boy was blown to bits simply waiting to see his father finish the race. Now his father will never, ever see his son again. So people sprinting for doorways, smashing over tables, chairs, is described as an absolute madhouse because people were in a very busy area in food courts that were nearby. Lots of restaurants also affected by what had happened there. And it's, you know, again, an indescribable feeling, I think, for so many who said it was like a scene from 9/11 that people were running down the streets and saying, get out of here, run away. Because, of course, you don't know. You have one explosion, then another, and who knew if there were more explosions to come. So it was about getting away. And the explosions that just shook everything, that made buildings right there shake, and that blew out the windows in some places, sirens, people running to the scene, and people realizing they had just crossed the finish line and barely missed it, that they were walking away and saw white smoke behind them and a loud noise, and realized because of the time that they finished, they missed all of that. They missed what had happened and felt incredibly blessed or lucky, for sure. And the sound of what the blast was, the gunshot fire, and some kind of a celebration because it was loud, so people assumed it might be some weird firecrackers or fireworks, and then trying to figure out ultimately what it was, what had happened. So think of all those people cheering and all those people also running who didn't get to finish, who didn't finish but feel lucky that they weren't there at the time when the bombs went off. And all they were trying to do was cross something off a list or something they had been working for, striving to do. Finally, they were there and they were doing it. And they saw chaos, and they saw people that were bleeding and in the streets and not moving or barely moving. And, man, just horrific, just terrible, a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And people running back to hotels, people, I'm sure, being bombarded with text messages and phone calls. Because if you have somebody in your life that's flying to Boston, they're competing in the marathon, they're just running the marathon, that's, you're thinking about them. You're immediately thinking about them. So cell phone service was down in lots of areas because of that, and that's exactly what we saw, that what happened in 9/11. And all the security they normally have at the race, and they, you know, there's probably police officers maybe every 10, 15 yards or something like that. And then it just goes to show you how easy it is to penetrate what seems like a situation where you wouldn't see that here. Why would that happen here? Of course it's not going to happen here. That would be just extraordinary. I can't imagine it. But the unimaginable, unfortunately, happened. And now it's a matter of what we take away from this. The first thing is getting somebody in custody responsible for it, getting to the root of what happened here to know the rest of the story and what coward did this. Was it somebody who was just a homegrown terrorist variety, or somebody with other sinister connections? What was it that ended up being this, leaving three people dead so far, other people in critical condition, and so many others that were injured because of the two different bombs that went off, and how they got in the trash can, and how somebody was able to get through security to go unnoticed and then cause this tragedy, this tsunami of pain across Boston and other places as well. People are feeling for the people in Massachusetts and in Boston. We certainly do. And I think it's key is finding the person who did this. If you have any thoughts, you can certainly share them with us by flipping me an email at americatonight.net, americatonight.net. Stay with us. It was tax day, and Americans for Prosperity have a different idea of where we should be headed when it comes to taxes. That's next.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your texts, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom design cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BLOCKITPOCKET.com. Block It Pocket, enhancing health and privacy.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
For those who know the benefits of silver, for those who know the healing history of silver, and for those who want to be prepared, now there's Silver Gauze, a nylon elastic wrap with silver bonded to each individual fiber. Silver Gauze is a long-lasting, washable, and reusable must-have for any emergency kit. Get yours today at silvergauze.com, spelled silver, G-A-U-Z-E.com. Silver Gauze is what your emergency kit is missing.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Perhaps you've already done that whole tax thing. I know as much as people can procrastinate or infuriates them, some of the things that they're taxed for and whatnot, inevitably it comes back around every single year. Americans for Prosperity released a tax reform proposal. You're going to love this. In the wings, we've had him on the show before. He's great. James Valvo's with us from AFP to talk about that. James, thanks for hopping on the show this time around.
Sure thing. Thanks so much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it.
All right. So as the director of policy and as you look at what's going on with the economy and what's happening with Congress, and you see that the tax code is so distortive, to say the least, and all over the map, and you can't understand it really. Honestly, you need 3 master's degrees. Seriously, it's not simple in any way. What do, in your reform proposal, you address that. What do you think are the things that need to happen?
Well, here's the good news. The good news is that Chairman Camp and Chairman Baucus, the head of the two committees in the House and the Senate, seem really interested in doing a package, okay? Chairman Baucus is starting to get on in years. Dave Camp is recovering from cancer. These guys seem like they're looking to put a legacy bill together, which is a good sign that they really want to do something comprehensive and big, because that's the only time you can really get a lot of this distorted stuff out of the tax code, is when you're willing to do something big, put together a big package that gets rid of a lot of these things at the same time, and that's where you have the ability to bring down the rate. And that's really the key to tax reform, is simplicity, getting rid of as many provisions as possible in order to bring down the top rate. And another signal that I just like to mention to your listeners is that Speaker Boehner reserved H.R. 1 for tax reform this year. That's a really symbolic gesture by the Speaker that he wants to go forward with tax reform. And so what AFP wanted to do, and Chairman Camp put out a call to everybody who's interested in tax reform and said, write up your ideas. We want this to be an open, deliberative process. We want to gather as much information as possible. We're not going to try and write this behind closed doors. Believe it or not, the tax reform is one of those things that is just going to be dominated by the lobbyists. Like you said, you got to have 3 master's degrees and a handful of lawyers at your side to understand this stuff. And the lobbyists have got it. But to Chairman Camp's credit, he put out a call and said, give us your information. Let us know what you want to do. And so that's what we did at Americans for Prosperity. We stepped back and said, if we were going to try and get rid of as much of this stuff as possible, let's lay down a marker and let the chairman know what good free market tax reform looks like. And hopefully he'll adopt some of those proposals.
And one of the things you talk about is flat and neutral tax code. Wow. What a revelation. Of course, we've been screaming about that for so long here on this show. It would be really easy to do that, wouldn't it?
Well, sure. I think neutrality is one of those concepts that gets lost a little bit in tax reform. People say you want a broad base and a low rate. I don't think that's exactly right. Instead of a broad base, what you want is a neutral base. And what neutrality in taxation means is that the code doesn't discriminate between savings and consumption. And it also doesn't discriminate between different types of saving and consumption. And so I'd like to give you just one example of how the tax code currently is not neutral, and how we already have a provision in place that recognizes that, and that's saving. So we have 401ks and Roth that recognize that savings get taxed twice. They get taxed when you earn it, and then they get taxed again when you take it out of your savings account later. And so we've already installed in the code 401ks and Roth IRAs that people are already familiar with. The reason that we have those is to eliminate the lack of neutrality for savings. But they're very targeted provisions. You're only allowed to put in a certain amount of money a year. And here's something that gives you a window into the two different sides. The president's budget proposal came out and said he wants to cap the ability of people to have more than $3 million in their IRAs. At AFP, we want to go completely the opposite direction and say we want to take the yearly caps off the top of these savings accounts and say anybody should be allowed to save however much they want tax-free, then be taxed on it at the back end when you take it out, which is just like a consumption tax. You're only taxing it once at the last point before the consumer uses it. That's how our income is taxed right now. If I earn something out of my W-2, out of my paycheck, go to the store with it, it's only taxed once. But if you save, if you do the responsible thing, if you put it in the bank account, say, I'm going to plan for 20 years from now, you're hit again. That's a lack of neutrality in the tax code, and something we could really get rid of that would do us a lot of good.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you 100%. Another thing that you talk about, which you won't be good friends with T. Boone Pickens anytime soon, is energy. End all production tax subsidies is one of the things that you say in your recommendations, and that includes the marginal well credit, enhanced oil recovery credit, and the one that I'm referring to with T. Boone Pickens jokingly, a wind production credit, which is ridiculous when you see how little the wind production is actually working in most areas, and the ridiculous amount of credit a said company, let's say, gets or individual. So if we got rid of the energy deal, that would obviously, it would, like I said, infuriate a few handful of people, but it makes sense to me. It makes sense to a lot of people that call this show. But for people who don't understand, well, wouldn't they look at you and say, well, that's not, you're not telling people to be very green then? Do you not care about the environment? What would you say?
Well, this is the junk that's in the tax code, right? Everybody who's got a lobbyist, everybody who's got a great idea goes up to Congress and says, I got a great plan. It'll work in 10 years. You just don't make me pay any taxes for 10 years. For the wind production tax credit, it's been 20 years that thing's been in place now. So this argument that just give me a tax break and I can get this new industry up off the ground, it doesn't work. These guys stay addicted to the tax credits. They never wean themselves off it such that they can succeed in the market on their own. A lot of the growth that we've seen in wind, look, I'm not anti-green. I'm pro-free market. But most of the growth that we've seen in wind is because of state purchase mandates, which are called renewable portfolio standards, green energy mandates. 30-some states in the country have them. It's not because of the tax credit. It's because of a purchase mandate on the state level. And so there are hundreds of provisions like that in the code that are targeted to the specific type of biofuel, the specific type of algae. It's really time to get rid of that stuff. And what I think another thing about these targeted provisions is that there are recognition that the code, that the tax rate is too high. Yeah. Right. If the tax rate was low enough, you wouldn't need the special carve out for your own industry. But look, we're not for just going after green energy. Like you already read off, we're for going after the marginal well credit, which is just a production subsidy to oil companies when the price of oil is too low, so that they'll keep pumping for marginally productive wells. Enhanced oil recovery does the same thing. There should be no subsidies based on the production of a commodity. That's really the wrong way to go about it. And so that's why we're for getting rid of it across the board. Those things on their own would be a tax hike because people would lose their special credit, their tax liability would rise, but this is why you have to do it in big comprehensive reform. You can bring down the top corporate tax rate at the same time.
What about internationally? You said something about that, which is also something that people talk a lot about, even if we're going in a different direction and talking about corporate taxes and lowering that to bring more business back because our corporate taxes are so high.
Well, look, this is the one of the silliest provisions. We're the last major industrialized country in the world that taxes our corporations' worldwide earnings. I mean, it doesn't matter if you earn it here or if you have a factory in India. The United States government is going to tax your earnings no matter which location you are. But we have an additional provision that's called worldwide with deferral. And that means that you don't pay the tax until you actually bring the money back into the United States. What incentive has that set up? It set up the incentive that these multinational corporations that are American set up foreign subsidiaries. They earn their money in India. And what do they do with the earnings? They leave it over there. They never bring it back. And why would you bring it back when you would be subjecting yourself to, again, double taxation, like I was talking about with savings? We're the last industrialized country that has worldwide taxation. Everybody has gone to a system that's called territorial taxation, which means you pay once and only once in the place that you earn the income, and then the money is yours and you can do with it what you want. We want to create an environment where every other company around the world wants to come to the United States instead of setting up the corporate tax system that we have, which chases our earnings overseas. It's totally backwards.
Yeah, and for people that were crunching numbers at the last second doing their taxes, when it becomes an individual thing, it really is about, okay, because I'm here and I've got the best tax attorney and I can do this, it's okay, I'll figure out these deductions. But really everybody gets jammed up in the itemized deductions, don't they?
Well, the itemized deductions only helps people who have above the standard deduction. It only helps the upper middle and upper income folks. And I'd like to talk about a very specific provision in that that's called the state and local tax deduction. You're allowed to deduct from your federal liability taxes you paid on the state level. And this is one that I was sort of torn about, right, because I don't want to tax the same dollar twice. But what that does is it creates a subsidy to the state and local government because they can keep raising taxes on their high earners. And every time they do it, they're just increasing the deduction on those people's federal returns. It creates a transfer of the tax dollar from the federal government to the high state regimes. We see it in California, we see it in New York, we see it in Connecticut. These are the places that have the high earners that are itemizing their deductions. But we need to get rid of as much of this as possible, be extremely simple, pay all your taxes once, and be done with it. We're going to see a great benefit through that simplicity and the neutrality that I talked about earlier.
Yeah, pay them once. I agree with you. James Favreau, thanks so much for coming on the show from AFP. AFP's Director of Policy. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Introducing a 30-day emergency food supply for only $99. At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can purchase Oregon Trail Foods' one-month supply of high-quality, nutritious, and healthy emergency meals for less than $100. These vegetarian meals are natural, high in carbs and protein, and are packed with oxygen absorbers and Mylar pouches. They take up to 70% less space than number 10 cans, have a 20-year shelf life, and huge portions, over twice the serving size of some competitors' meals. Oregon Trail Foods and 30dayfoodsupply.com keep prices low by buying direct from producers in Oregon and then pass the savings on to you. Purchase a 30-day, 90-serving emergency food supply for only $99 this month, and $10 ships your entire order to the lower 48. Call 541-673-6666 or visit 30dayfoodsupply.com, where they make preparedness affordable. 30dayfoodsupply.com. Got it? Get it. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com.